Okay, we're on. Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph in Zvachim, and we are on the bottom of Yud Amud Aleph. We fell behind yesterday because of Shabbos. Fine. We'll make our way back. We're starting now today with Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, back in the Mishnah daf, back on Beis Amud Aleph. We're still working the first Mishnah of the Masechta. I find that the first sugya of every Masechta tends to go long. Just a lot of introductory points, a lot of things that need to be established. So we'll be here for a while, though we are getting to the next Mishnah soon. The first Mishnah talked about the Shechita Shalal Lishma, that if you shecht a karban and you do it with shame another karban, for the purpose of another karban, so you have offended the karban, you've interfered with the karban. So the Mishnah says that that's true with all karbanos, that you've interfered with the karban, meaning the karban's still good, it's just no longer helps for the owner, no longer provides any type of atonement for the owner. And that's true for all the karbanos, with exception to the chatos and to the karban pesach. By the chatos and karban pesach, a machshava kavana of shalal lishma will totally disqualify the karban. We spent some time talking about the pesach, we talked a little bit about the chatos these past couple days, and then the Mishnah brings an assortment of other opinions in the Mishnah. So, for example, we have Shitas Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that the Karban Asham is just like the Karban Chatas, meaning that just like by the Chatas, a Machshava Shalal Lishma disqualifies the Karban Chatas, the same thing is true with an Asham. That is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and we're going to be discussing now for most of today's Amud, Daf, I should say. That was not intentional. Most of today's daf, we're going to be talking about Shitas Rabbi Elazar. So we start towards the bottom of the page. Before we start with the Gemara, let's just take a moment to think about this. It makes Rabbi Elazar's Shita makes perfect sense from a Svara standpoint, because really, when you think about it, an Asham is the same thing as a Chatas. It's a karma that comes for a specific sin, right? Ola is a dora, no karma. Ola is a gift. I present a Kadosh Baruch Hu a gift. Because I want to get close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? We talked earlier in the Masechta that an Ola is Mechapir, does atone for Mitzvah Saseh, for positive commandments, and Lav Hanitak La'aseh. Okay, that's true. It's true. But still, ultimately, when the day's over, an Ola is a gift. And a Shlamim is for sure, you know, not a Mechapir. It doesn't provide any type of atonement. The Shlamim is just there so that, again, I provide a karma to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I get to go to Yerushalayim and sit down and eat Shlamim in Yerushalayim. It's a fantastic opportunity. But when you talk about a chatas, chatas is a mechapir. The whole reason why I bring a chatas is because I goofed. I violate an avera in the Torah, b'shogeg, I did so inadvertently. And so therefore here I have my chatas with me. And we know, it's well established that a machshava shalal lishmo disqualifies a chatas. Asham is the same thing. There's no difference between an asham and a chatas in that regard. An asham is the same thing. The Torah says, if you goof, if you blunder, here's a prescription for particular averas. Now, asham is very limited in terms of which averas it covers. It covers mi'ila, shivcha, charufa, some random isurim in the Torah. But still, the main point of the asham is that it provides a kapar, it provides an atonement. So Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah says that in the world of shechita lishma, so a chatzas and asham are the same. Just like a shalol lishma, a reassignment of a karban, of a chatzas, will invalidate it, same thing is true with an asham. Okay? That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara now discusses. Rabbi Elazar Omer, afa asham tanya, we learned in a braisa. So here in this braisa, it's a tosefta. The tosefta discusses now the inner workings, the mechanics of what is the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. So we have a standoff over here in this braisa between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. Okay? So Amalo Rabbi Elazar, Chatos Baal Al-Chet, Vashem Baal Al-Chet. So they both come Al-Chet. Ma Chata Shalosh Ma Pesul Af, Hashem Shalosh Ma Pesul. So Rabbi Elazar starts exactly with the argument as I presented it before we started the daf. It's the same purpose, it's the same function. So therefore, Chatos and Hashem are the same. And both will be invalidated with a Kavanah Shalosh Lishma. So Amalo Rabbi Yoshua Lo, Imati Bechata Shekhen Damal Amala. So Rabbi Yoshua says, yeah, but there are fundamental differences between a chatas and an asham. Now again, this is the first time that I think we're experiencing this, that we're seeing these ideas. So we just got to get comfortable with these ideas. Every time I shecht a karban, I bring the blood over to the mizbeach and I sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Where on the mizbeach, how many times on the mizbeach, depends on what kind of karban it is. So a chatas is unique. One of the only karbanos where when I do a blood application on the mizbeach, it's lamala, it's above. Okay. Mizbech is a very simple structure. It's a box. Large box. Right? One where if you fall off of it, you're going to get hurt. Right? But the Mizbech is a very simple structure. But the it's 10 amas high, right? Which is about 20 feet in the air. We have a picture. No. I don't want to say ignore that picture in the back, but I'll say it. Ignore that picture in the back. Beautiful. Those of you who working with an art school Gemara, there is a picture in the front of the Gemara of the Mizbeach. Okay? So it's a simple structure, the Mizbeach. Now, the blood is actually sprinkled on the side of the Mizbeach, meaning you don't climb up the Mizbeach and sprinkle blood while on top. Although sometimes you do with a bird, but again, we're just dealing with a chazas animal. What you do is you simply approach the Mizbeach on one of the corners. We'll discuss which one for every carbon. And you sprinkle, you do a blood application on the corners. With a chatas, its uniqueness is that you do it lamala on the upper portion. There's what's called, Rashi describes this as a chut hasikra. There's almost like a red line drawn on the midpoint of the Mizbeach going up. The Mizbeach is 10 amas high, so right on the midpoint of the Mizbeach, there's this like red line. Right, they show a picture of the red line?
So they have
this red line that's drawn. This is called the Chut HaSikra. Most of the blood applications are done lamata, below the red line. The carbon chatas, but not even every chatas, by the way. Chatas behema is done lamala, it's done above. Okay? So Rabbi Yehoshua turns to Rabbi Eliezer and he says to him like this. Look, you're right. In function and purpose, the chatas and the yashim are the same. Correct. But the blood applications are totally different. Your chatas blood goes lamala, above the chut hasikra. Your asham blood goes lamata, goes below. And for reasons that probably we don't fully understand, and not probably, but that makes a huge difference between the chatas and asham, where the blood is applied on the mizbeach. So Rabbi Yehoshua says, so the two cannot be compared, and just because in function it's the same, but you see, because of the blood applications, that they're not the same, and therefore you can't compare the two. Lo im amar bechazus shekein dam lamala amal Rabbi Lazar pesach yochir she dam lamata b'shach v'shalal shma pasal. So Rabbi Elazar turns back to Rabbi Yehoshua and says, yeah, you're right. The asham blood goes lamata. So does the pesach blood. Blood of the Karban Pesach also goes lamata. And what do we know in our Mishnah? That the Karban Pesach, the Shechta Shalol Shmo, is going to be possible. So Rabbi Elazar says, look, I have a great defense. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, Mala Pesach, Shekein Zmano Kavua. So Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Elazar, good. You're right, the Karban Pesach is below the red line. Granted. But we also know that the Karban Pesach is Zman Kavua. It has a set prescribed time. You can't compare the Karban Pesach to the Karban Asham. So Amalo Revelazah, so Revelazah says Chatach Tochiach. Well, Revelazah says, let's go back to the Chatas. Chatas doesn't have a prescribed time. So Amalo Rev Yoshua. So Rev Yoshua says back to Rev Elazar, we're on the top of Yudam and Beis, Chozrani Chalila. Here we go again. We're going to go back to Chatas, and I'm going to tell you, Chatas blood goes above the red line. Asham blood goes below the red line, and we're just going to get into the circular argument, and where are we going with this? Okay, period. Now, those of you who have been with me a long time, you should know already. So, what do you mean? Where are we going to go with this? So, we don't have, Karban Pesach is not going to work, and Asham's not going to work, so let's use a common denominator. Let's use both of them. This is what's called a Tzad HaShaveh. Let's use a common denominator, both of them. And interestingly enough, in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehoshua gets the last word over here. Rabbi Yehoshua says, what are you going to do? You're going to take me in circles. And why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer say in his defense, well, what do you mean? Let's do the Tzad HaShaveh. Let's do the common denominator. The Gemara later on will be bothered by this. Why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer use the method of Tzad HaShaveh? Okay? We'll come back to that. Chazer Rabbi Eliezer v'dana din acher. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, round one is over, and for those of you who like boxing, not me. So Rabbi Yehoshua won round one. Okay? So judges gave round one to Rabbi Yehoshua. So Chazer Rabbi Elazar v'dana din acher, Chatas ne'emar bahi b'shchita, hi l'shma k'shera shelo l'shma p'sula, u'pesach ne'emar bahu b'zvicha, hu l'shma k'asher shelo l'shma pasol. Look, we have psukim. We have psukim that indicate that by the Karban Chatas and by the Karban Pesach, a shechita shelo lishmo disqualifies it. Avashan nemar bohu. So there also, the pasuk by Asham, we've been quoting these psukim sporadically throughout the first parak. By Asham also it says the word who, so lishmo kasha shelo lishmo pasach. Okay, so Rabbi Lezer says, look, okay, you didn't like my logic, but you'll like my psukim, right? I have psukim that indicate that the Asham also says the word who. So Amar Rabbi Yoshua chatas nemar bahi b'shchita he lishma ksher shelo lishma psula. So Rabbi Yoshua says, just because the Torah says the word who is not enough. You have to look at where the Torah says the word who. By Karban Chatas, it says it by the Shita. By Pesach, Nemar Bohu Bezvicha. Lishmo Kasher Shalosh Maposel. Aval Asham, Lo Nemar Bohu Ela La'achar Haktar Zimurim. By the Asham, it only says the word who after the burning of the fats of the animal. That's already after the Shechita, that's after the Zrika. And as we discussed already, V'huatz Moshe Lohuk Tiri Murim Kasher. Haktar Zimurim, the burning of the fats of an animal, it's a mitzvah. It's important to do, but it's not critical. It's not an essential part of the karban. No, the imur menat ma'akev. So the Gemara says, so you're right, it does say the word who, but it says who by a part that's not essential. Good. So that's round two, and again, round two goes to Rabbi Yehoshua. Okay, so Rabbi Lazar is down now two rounds to nothing. So Amar lo, we're almost done. We're almost done with the Tosefta. Amar lo Rabbi Lazar, harei omar kechatas ka'asham. Okay, but go to Parshat Tzav, and the Torah seems to equate chatas and asham. Plain and simple. Kachatas ka'asham, ma chatas shelo lishma pasul, afasham shelo lishma pasul. Okay, so if the Torah makes this equation, and it's such a simple equation, kachatas ka'asham, just like the chatas, just like the asham, so it sounds like what the Torah is trying to tell us is they're the same. And similarity here is in the context of shechita lishmo, that you have to shechta for its own sake. And if you don't, it's going to be disqualified. Period. That is the end of the Tosefta. Now, I don't want to say that Rabbi Lazar won round three, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Lazar, but at least in this third argument, he goes unchecked, he goes unchallenged. It does seem that Rabbi Lazar does get the last word in this Tosefta. Okay, good. What the Gemara does, as it traditionally does, is it now goes back over the entire Tosefta and dissects it line by line and makes observations about various positions and points and counterpoints that were said in the Tosefta. Amar Amar. Amar lo Rav Yoshua Chazreni Chalila. So we're going to go back to the point which I foreshadowed. Right? It's said in the Tosefta, Chazreni Chalila. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer in the beginning of the Braisa says, well, look at the Chatas. Shelo lishmo is pasul. So the response to that was, Chatas is, blood of a Chatas goes lamala. Oh, look at the Pesach. Pesach is man kavua. Okay? And that's it. And why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer say in his defense, Tzad HaShava? So this is the Gemara's question. Amar lo Rav Yeshua Chazreni Chalila, ulemehadur dina v'leisi b'mehatzad. Why don't we use this mehatzad? Mehatzad is a mechanism in which we'll look at the common denominator between the two. You're right, Chatas is different. You're right, Pesach is different. Good, but they have a commonality, and the commonality is, let me finish the sentence because the Gemara doesn't. And the commonality between the two is that if I shechta shelo lishmo, it's going to be, the carbon's going to be disqualified. Same thing should be true by the asham. If I shechta shelo lishmo, it's going to be disqualified. So the Gemara says, mishum de'ikal avirchach, lemifrach ma'ala tzad shavah shabahem, sheken yesh bahem tzad kares. Even by using the both of them together, it's no good, because there's a tzad kares, because both of them have an element of kares. Okay, let's look at each one of them. Chatas for sure, right? Chatas, the whole reason why you're bringing the chatas is because you violate an iser that, if done intentionally, is chayav kares. So for sure, chatas has a tzad kares. What about the Karban Pesach? Right? Failure to bring the Karban Pesach results in kares. Why? Two assays in the Torah, two positive commandments in the Torah, only two, where if I fail to do so, if I fail to do a mitzvah, I'm going to be chayv karis. One of them is Pesach, and the other one is Bris Milah. Right? Or Brit Milah. It's the same thing. I'm sure of it.
What happens with the chayim that they don't have karet associated with it?
There is no such thing.
Doesn't Asham have such a thing?
Every chatas has a karis attached to it.
Associated. Negative commandments.
The only negative commandments that you bring a carbon chatos are those that have an iser karis.
So what happened to the rest?
No chatos.
What's the punishment for it?
So it's a regular law, regular negative prohibition.
No beeping or anything at all?
No. What do you do in terms of atonement? You do just a regular tshuva. You say, oh, God, I won't do it again, I promise.
And that's it.
You have to be sincere.
And you don't bring anything else.
And that's it. No. And you don't bring a carbon. Okay.
Isn't your card also by Ashram?
No. And name me the Ashram that has cards with it. You get now even Meila. Okay, fine, good. Next stage of the Gemara. Shekhen Yesh Bemsa Karis. Okay, fine. I'm a Rabbi Yeshua Lo. So Rabbi Yeshua says you can't compare them because Dam Lamala. Okay. The blood of a chatas goes upstairs, goes to the top portion of the mizbech, and not the blood of an asham. So the Gemara says, look, you want to make distinctions between a chatas and an asham? We could spend some time noting the halachic distinctions between a chatas and an asham. And again, these are the first time in the Masechtas that we're being introduced to these ideas. So just, it's a lot of information to digest. If I take the blood of a carbon chatas, right now the Gemara says, you know what happens with the blood of a carbon chatas? It goes lefnai velefnim. Some blood of some carbon chatases, it's not the right way to say it, but you understand. Right? Chata'ot. Some of those bloods go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? We know, we know on Yom Kippur. Right? The blood of the Chatas of Yom Kippur goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The blood of a Chatas HaPanimis goes inside the Kodesh. So the blood of certain carbon Chatases go inside. Right? As opposed to the blood of an Ashram, never goes inside the Heichal. Never. Always remains outside. So the Gemara says, so why don't we use that as our point of separation between a chatas and an asham? Why are you just simply pointing to the location on the mizbech where I sprinkle the blood? So the Gemara says, b'chatas achitzons karminan. Fine, so the Gemara says, okay, that doesn't bother me because we're speaking specifically the chatas panimis, the outer chatases. So in other words, just categorically, we're not talking about the inner chatases. Fine. That's why we didn't use that as our point of departure. She'im nichnas dam lefnai velefnim psula. Now the Gemara says like this. Okay, now let's get ready for the big introduction. If I take the blood of a chatas, right, the chatas that's not supposed to go inside, meaning your regular standard chatas, I take the blood and I bring that blood inside, I've disqualified the carbon chatas. It's a strange halacha, but strange only because we're learning it now for the first time in the Masechta. If I bring the blood of a chatas that is not supposed to go inside to the Heichal, and I bring it into the Heichal, you've disqualified the carbon doing so. And this is a halacha exclusive to chatas, that you don't find by any other carbon. So the Gemara says again, why doesn't Rabbi Yoshua provide that as a point of difference? So Isla le Rabbi Lazar, Afa Hashem, because Rabbi Lazar says, it's very simple because Rabbi Lazar disagrees. He says, just like if I bring the blood of a chatas inside, I disqualify the chatas, same thing is true with the Hashem. If I bring the blood of an Hashem inside, I disqualify the Hashem as well. Because remember, Rabbi Eliezer pretty much equates a chatas and an Hashem. Next, Shekin Mechaperes Achaive Krisas. So the Gemara says, well, why don't I use the following as a point of separation between chatas and asham? Chatas is there to be mechaper on those isuri krisos. So the Gemara says, no, mechatas to shmias kol. That's not always true. Meaning, it's always true. Let's start off from the side of asham. It's always true that an asham comes for a non karis iser. It's not always true that a chatas comes for a karis iser. Okay. If you're thoroughly confused right now, I kind of don't blame you. But what I'm saying, it does make sense. At least I hear it. Chatas doesn't always come for a karis iser. Sometimes chatas comes for a non-karis iser. The Gemara gives a simple example. Shmias kol, right? Suppression of testimony. Somebody comes over and he says to you, I know you know testimony. And you say, and you do. And you say, I swear I don't. So that's called the prohibition of Shmias Kol.
But that's all of you right there.
But that's a chatas. You're right.
Category.
You're right, but it's a chatas. Oh, that's right. Okay? So that's an Isser in the Torah where it's not a courage prohibition, right? Lying under oath, saying that you don't know testimony when meanwhile you do. It is a prohibition in the Torah, but it's not a courage prohibition. And meanwhile, if you finally admit and you said, you know, I felt terrible, I lied, you bring the carbon chatas. Ben is correct. It's a special carbon chatas. It's called Ola V'yorid, but it's still a carbon chatas. So in that regard, chatas doesn't only come for Karis Yisurim. So good. So that's why I can't use that as a point of separation.
Can you just say that it's, it is? I said Al Chatam, by definition, are the ones that have Karis.
If I said that before, by the way, which now I'm rewinding the tape and playing it in my head. If I said that before, so now I'm checking it, and we're modifying it a little bit. Shmias Kol. There's one example, right? And Shmias Kol, there's a second one also. There are three Olaviyarids. Right. One of the three is a Kares. Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav is Kares. Right. Shmias Kol is not Kares. And the third one is right, Bitu Svasayim, right? Is making a false oath. Good. That's it. No, that's it. We cover them all. Okay. Okay. No, so it's good. So there is a chatas. There are two chatas that we can think of right now that are non-karis chatas. Okay, good.
Are there more? No?
only to find me make mistakes later on. No, I don't think so. Okay, fine. But it's everything's on tape, so don't worry. All my mistakes are there for public consumption. She came to Una Arba Matanos. So the Gemara says, again, we are going over now basic differences between the Chatas and Asham. And the Gemara now, look, it's really a great opportunity for us to just see what are the halachas of Chatas, what's the halachas of Asham, and why didn't Rabbi Yoshua, point to those differences? Why are you pointing to just simply location on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, she came to Una Arba Matanos. You know what? By the Chatas are Arba Matanos. Chatas is the only carbon where you walk around the Mizbeach and you sprinkle blood on all four corners of the Mizbeach. That's not true by any other carbon. By a Shlamim, it's one blood application. Right? By an Asham, by an Ola, it's two blood applications. We get to the fifth parak. All this is contained in the fifth parak of Zvachim. Okay? But the Chatas is unique because it has four blood applications in four corners of the Mizbeach. And that's not found by any other carbon. That's a very fundamental difference between Chatas and Asham. So the Gemara says, Karabi Shmuel,
Damar. It's two applications. Hmm? But it's two applications on two corners that covers four.
Not by the Chatas. Chatas is four applications.
Four individual.
So the Gemara says, Karabi Shmuel, Damar, Kol Adamim, Tu Una, Arba Matanos. Shekain to Una. I'm sorry. Kol adamim tuna arba matanos. So the Gemara says, well, meaning Rabbi Elazar, is holding like Rabbi Yishmael, and consequently Rabbi Yishmael is of the opinion that there are other karbanos that have four applications. Shekain tuna al arba kranos. Okay, maybe. But still the chatas is unique in that you go into the four corners. So again, what all we're doing right now, don't get lost. All we're doing right now is we're just looking for basic difference between the Chatas and the Asham. Why didn't Rabbi Yoshua point to these differences? So just give me one moment. Ulatameh ha'ika etzba ha'ika karen ha'ika chuda. So the Gemara says, if that's what you're doing right now, you know, we could span the gamut. There's etzba. When I sprinkle the blood of a chatas, I have to do so with my finger. Not true by the other karbanos. Karen, when I sprinkle the blood of a chatas, it goes on the horn. Not true by any of the other karbanos. Haika chuda, when I sprinkle, I have to actually go on the edge, on the actual edge of the corner. Not true by any of the other karbanos. So, look, there are many halachas in terms of sprinkling of the blood of a carbon chatas that makes it unique and makes it different than the carbon asham. Elechad mitrei tlas tamei nakat. And so the Gemara's answer is very simply, look, there really is no question to begin with. Rabbi Yoshua is pointing to the differences between them, and he only gave one example. He could have given two. He could have given three. There are many differences between them, but he simply pointed to one of the many differences between Chatas and Asham. Next. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua lo imamarta imamarta. Leima le Rabbi Lazar Asham nami dama lamala. So, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer argue that the Asham blood goes lamala? Right? Why doesn't he do that? Meaning that when Rabbi Yehoshua says to him, yeah, the blood goes above of a chatas and the blood goes below of an asham, so why didn't Rabbi Eliezer say to him simply, no, the blood of an asham goes above? So Amar Abaye, asham dama lamala lo matzis amart. It's an impossible conclusion. And the Gemara now will spend just a couple of minutes doing this, a couple of minutes explaining why it is it's patently impossible for the blood of an asham to go on the upper half of the mizbeach. Kavachomer mi ola, ma ola shu kalol dam lamata, because the ola, look, you don't get better than the ola. Ola is totally burned on the mizbeach, and you think it's so holy, it's so elevated, and meanwhile the blood goes on the lower half of the mizbeach. Right? Asham she'eno kalil lo kol shekein, the asham which is not as elevated. Asham, parts of the asham are burnt on the mizbech, but the rest of it is eaten by kohanim. Zichrei kohuna in the azara. So, if the ola is not being sprinkled on the top half, the asham is neither. Mala ola teshekeinu eno mechaperes. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, I know the ola is totally burnt, but the ola is eno mechaper. Ola provides no kapara. Now, it's fair to be confused, right? I give you permission to be confused, because just 4 days ago, we spent an entire daf discussing how the ola is a kapara, and it does provide atonement, but it's not its principal reason why it's being brought. An ola is fundamentally a daron, it's a gift, right? It's not really brought as a kapara. Kapara is achieved, but that's not its fundamental purpose. It really is a daron, which is why the Gemara over here says, an ola is eino mechaper. It doesn't really provide atonement. Chatas ha'of tochich, but the Gemara says, okay, what about the chatas of a bird? Now the blood of a chatas of a bird goes on the lower half of the mizbeach. Ma lechatas ha'of shekein eino min zevach. So what? It's not a zevach, it's not an animal. And even though a bird is a carbon, but still we segregate the animals and the birds. The animals are meteor, and I do mean this, meteor types of carbonos. So it's true, the blood of an ola goes in the lower half, but so what? The blood of a zevach, of an animal, goes on the upper portion. Olo techiach. So the Gemara says, okay, lori zekri zev, lori zekri zev, tzadashavah shabahen shein kachay kadoshim v'damam lamata. Look, your ola goes in the lower half. The chatas bird goes on the lower half. I know they're not the same, but still, let's look at the common denominator. They're both kache kadashim. They're both in the upper echelons of karbanos, and the blood is sprinkled on the lower half. Af ani avi asham shu kadosh kadashim adam lamata. And so, using this tzad hasheve, the common denominator, I'm only going to conclude, the only conclusion is the blood of an asham goes on the lower half as well. Amalei Rava mi parzakia le Rav Ashi v'lifroch mala hatzad hasheve shemem shekein ein lahem kitzva. Yeah, that's true, but you know, the asham, there's a set amount for how much the carbon asham is. The Torah, the only time the Torah tells you how much to spend for a carbon is by the carbon asham. The Torah gives a minimum dollar amount, not dollar, but you know what I mean. A minimum currency amount of how much you need to spend on the carbon asham, and that's not true by any other carbon. So the asham in this regard stands alone, so I can't learn the asham from an ola or a chatas. Tomer ba'asham sheyesh lo kitzva, elahainu time of the Rabbi Elazar d'amakra. So again, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer just simply say, blood of an asham is above, just like the chatas? So the Gemara says it's based on a pasuk, hakone mechate osa, osa dam lamala ve'in damo shel acher lamala. So the Gemara says, look, it's based on a pasuk, right? The Kohen who's mechate osa, it referring of course to the carbon chatas, only blood of a carbon chatas is lamala. If that's the argument of Rabbi Eliezer, so the same argument could separate the chatas and the asham in terms of the halacha of lishma. So Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah, that osa is lav dafka, meaning the pasuk of osa regarding lishma. Don't take that pasuk so seriously. It's that pasuk is not a real limitation. And how do I know that? Meaning, what right does he have to say that? Da'ashari Pesach. Because, look, the carbon Pesach, same thing. Meaning, a shechita shelo lishma by carbon Pesach is that are disqualified. So I know that the osa by the karmen chatas is not limiting osa. Hachanami lav davka dahan dahashay olas haof bezvicha. So the Gemara says, okay, but the olas haof blood goes and the upper portion, meaning there is one other type of carbon whose blood goes on the top half of the mizbech, and that's the olas haof. So why don't, right? If once there's another exception to the rule, so you know that it's lav davka, it's not literal. So the Gemara says bizvicha, I'm sorry, olas haof bizvicha mi alo shar midi. Okay, so the Gemara says, look, in the world of zvicha, in the world of animals, there's no other animal. Chatas animals, blood sprinkled above the mizbeach, no other animal goes above, that's the only one. Ibais ema, or the Gemara says, if you would like, I can give another explanation as well. Hamani Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Hidamar, hai makom l'chud v'hai makom l'chud. Even if you want to, even if you don't want to give that answer, even if you want to subscribe to the idea that maybe the blood of an Ashram goes above, but still, the Chata's blood has its own unique location. Titania, Dame Matechtona, Titania Michuta Sikra Lamata, lower bloods that are applied to the Mizbech below the Chuta Sikra, anywhere below the midpoint, Val Yonim Mechuta Sikra Ulamala, and anything above is anywhere above, there's no specific place. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Bamedvar, Mamorim, Ba'ola Sa'of. When is that true? That's true by the Ola Sa'of. Ava Bechatas Behema, when it comes to the Chatas Behema, Yatzma, Inasin, Ella Al, Gufa Shal Karen, it must go on the Karen, on the horn of the Mizbech. Mizbech's got horns. Go back to your picture, you take a look at the picture of the Mizbech, and you will find in every corner, there are simple box protrusions that are coming up on every corner. The blood of the Chatas must be applied specifically to the Koranos, to the horns of the Mizbech. Good. All right.
What's the purpose of the horns?
For the blood of the Chatas, obviously. Okay. Good. All right, so that pretty much ends that discussion. So again, we are, it's not the end. There's going to be more, but we're at two dots. So let's just quickly summarize. It really comes out very straightforward. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yehoshua disagree. It's really Rabbi Lezer against the world. Does an Asham have the same status as a Chatzas vis-a-vis the Halach of Lishma? Lishma, I should say. Right? If I shech the carbon shalo lishma, where I try to say that it's not a chatas, but it's an ola, or it's a shlamim, and I try to reassign it, do I disqualify? By a chatas? Yes, I do. It's disqualified. Is an asham like a chatas in this halacha? So the accepted position is no. Chatas and asham are different. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, chatas and asham are the same. And we saw a tosefta on the bottom of Yud Amud Aleph that has a fight between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yehoshua, an argument, each one presenting arguments why they should be the same or they are different. And the Gemara just spent the last Amud going over how do we, different points of separation between the Chatzos and the Asham, what arguments side with Rabbi Lazar better and what arguments side with Rabbi Yehoshua better. Now, the halacha is very clear, however, that in the world of Shalal Lishma, only by a chatas and a carbon pesach does a shalol lishma disqualify the animal, disqualify the carbon, not by the asha. Tanan hasam. We learned in the Mishnah over there were four lines from the bottom of the amud on Yud Amud Beis. We're going to see this Mishnah later on, Daf Pei Aleph. Okay? A short 2 months from now. That's all. Tanan Hasam Shaya Rabbi Akiva Amr called Dam Shenichnu Sulahecha Lechaper Psulim Vechachamim Amrim Chatas Bovad Rabbi Eliezer Omer Afa Asham Shenamer Kechatas Kasham. Okay, we broached this concept just a couple of minutes ago, and now the Gemara will spend a little more time on it. Bringing the blood of a carbon into the Hechal, into the building. Okay, again, just if you have a working knowledge, understanding of how the temple courtyard looks good. If not, go back to your picture, right, and take a look at a picture. I think in our room upstairs we have a picture of the Mishkan. Okay, if not, we're learning Zvachim now. Okay, I'll make it my business to post a picture up. All the karbanos are in the Azara, are shecht in the courtyard, right? And for the most part, for most karbanos, the blood is left in the courtyard, meaning sprinkled on the Mizbeach, whatever blood is remaining is poured down the Yesod HaMizbech onto the foundation of the Mizbech, and that's it. On certain occasions, Yom Kippur most notably, blood is actually brought into the Heichal. Right? It's a rarity. It does happen annually on Yom Kippur, but and on certain other chatuses as well, blood is brought into the Heichal. But for the most part, blood is not allowed to be brought into the Heichal. Now, what if you do bring blood into the Heichal? So here's where everybody agrees. If it's the blood of a chatus, you've disqualified the carbon chatus. Torah says so. Torah says that bringing of the blood, specifically of a chatus achitzona, into the Heichal, it doesn't belong there. And because you did so, the Torah says you've disqualified the carbon. Is that true by other carbonos as well? That is subject to a debate. It's the Mishnah later on Pei Aleph. And the Gemara quotes it right over here. So Rabbi Akiva says, "Kol damim shenichnasu leheichal lechaper psulim." So Rabbi Akiva says it applies to every carbon. Now he does describe every carbon as damim shenichnasu leheichal lechaper. Any carbon that serves as a kapara.
Does he consider an ola like that?
I think so. Right, I mean, Rashi brings down. I mean, we'll see this in the Gemara later on, 2 months from now, right? What we'll remember by then, who knows? but Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva, Rashi brings down. Rabbi Akiva, kashim, kalam iribu idakol, v'chol akaman, v'chol azvach, mishnit arvu. Okay, so it sounds like every carbon, and even shlamim, meaning even though shlamim is. Okay, whatever. All right, so Rabbi Akiva says it's true by every carbon. The Chachamim say no, it's only true by the Chatas. Torah only says it by Chatas. And here we have Rabbi Eliezer again. And look, let's credit Rabbi Eliezer. He's consistent. Asham is like a chatas. Right? Asham and chatas are the same. Good. So at least, right, give credit for Rabbi Eliezer, even though we don't side with him, but at least he's consistent. Asham and chatas are one and the same carbon, just like we learned in our mission, the first mission, the Masechta. Asham and chatas are same for Lishma. Asham and chatas are going to be the same vis-a-vis this halacha of bringing the blood into the Heichal. Good. So Tanan Hasim, we learned in Mishnah Shai Rabbi Akiva Amar Kol Dam Shnichnas Lehechal Lechap Epsul Nechacham Emom Minchatus Bavad Rabbi Lozer Amar Af Ashem Shenemar Kechatus Kachasham Bishlam Rabbi Elazar Kedekamar Taima. So the Gemara says, look, we don't even have to analyze Rabbi Elazar. We know Rabbi Eliezer. He thinks Ashem and Chatus are the same. Ela Rabbanu My Taima Amar Rava Ashem Nechnas Tam Alifnim Pasul Lo Matzis Amar Kavachomer Miola. So once again, now the Gemara will go into its classic methodology of why Asham, why the blood of an Asham is different. So the Gemara says, we'll learn it through a Kav HaChomer from Ola. Top of Yud Aleph, Ma Ola, Sha'aya Kalal Nichnas Dam Lefnim Ksheira, Asham Sheino Kalal Lekol Shekein. So the Gemara says, look at the argument. If the blood of an Ola, which is brought into the Heichal, and it does not become disqualified, and it's an Ola, it's totally burnt on the Mizbeach, and meanwhile the carbon doesn't become disqualified. So you think an Asham's going to be disqualified? So the Gemara says, Mala Ola Shekein Ena Mechaperes. Good, but an Ola is not Mechaper, an Asham is Mechaper. Minchas Chote Tochiach. So the Gemara says, what about the Mincha of a sinner? Mincha of a sinner? So that could be talking about one of two things. Mincha of a sinner, first of all, in our world of Ola V'Yored, right, in our variable offerings, a person is so poor, can't afford the animal, can't afford the birds, so the Torah says for this special Ola V'Yored, they could bring a Mincha offering as a Chatas. Mincha as a Chatas, right? That's one possibility where a Mincha can come as a Chatas. What's another area where a Mincha can come as a Chatas?
Ola V'Yored.
All right, that's what we're talking about. Ola V'Yored, Sota. Sota also. Right, her mincha, I get right, the mincha's chote, the mincha of a sinner. It's right, it's not a chata so much as a chote. But anyway, mincha's chote tochiach. So the Gemara says, so what do you see from mincha's chote? So it serves as a kapara, and meanwhile, if it's brought into the heichal, it doesn't disqualify. Does not disqualify the mincha, so v'lema chatas of tochiach.
It's not a blood that gets applied
That's the whole thing. There's a difference between
Agreed. V'lema chatzasov tochech. So the Gemara says, what about chatzasov? So the Gemara says, chatzasov by the Rabbi Avinhi. So the Gemara says, well, chatzasov, we're going to see later on in the Masechta, we're not sure. Meaning, yeah, that is, right, good question. What if I bring the blood of a bird into the Heichal? Does that disqualify the bird? Because the Torah only talks about bringing blood in of an animal. Torah doesn't talk about bringing the blood of a bird. So what if I bring the blood of a bird in? So the Gemara says, stay tuned, because later on in the Masechta, we're going to ask that very question. Okay, so put that aside. So the Gemara says exactly what Ben just asked. What do you mean? It's a mincha offering. It's not a carbon. There's no blood. Olo tachich. So we're going to go back to Ola. And again, so good. So they're not the same. But let's take the common denominator. And they are both kachay kachim, right? The mincha of a sinner. And the blood of an Ola. They're both kachim, v'nichnas, and take out the word daman, obviously, because one of the things we're using is a mincha over here, and there is no blood of a mincha, v'nichnas lifnim ksherim, afani avi asham, shu kodesh kadashim, v'nichnas damo lifnim kasher. So good, so using the tzad hasheva, using the common denominator, we have therefore concluded that it must be that if I bring the blood of an asham in, it must be okay, using a tzad hashava.
Mincha is burnt, right?
Mincha, no. Mincha is, you take a kometz, right? You take the kemitza, which is a fistful, put it into your hand, put that into a vessel, bring that vessel to mizbech, and burn that kemitza.
So it's burnt.
That part. The rest of it is consumed.
But the question is that if you bring it inside, can you burn it there?
Huh?
Can you burn it there?
You bring it inside, and then what you do is you bring it out, and you do exactly what I just described. So you take off the kemitza, put the kemitza on the mizbeach, burn the kemitza on the mizbeach, and the kohanim eat the remaining part of the mincha.
So in this case, they're talking about bringing it in and not to burn it, but just...
No, just to bring it in. Meaning it's analogous to the blood. The blood was just brought in. And still, by the blood, in the chatas case, it disqualifies. So Amalei Rava mi Barnish la Rav Ashi v'lifroch mala atzad hashava shabem shekein ein lahem kitzva. So the Gemara says, again, you're trying to make comparisons of other karbanas to asham, but asham has one unique quality that's not true by any carbon, and that is Torah tells us how much to pay, minimally how much to pay for an asham. Torah b'asham sheish lo kitzva. So the kava chomer did not work. The tzad hashava did not work. Ela haynu taima de rabbanan dama kara dama dama. I'm sorry, dama. Dama shol zev lo dama shol acher. So okay, so our kava chomer tzad hashava methodology has failed. So therefore, what we're going to do now is we're going to go to another course of action, which is psukim and drasha. It's blood. Only the blood of a chatas that's brought into the heichal disqualifies the carbon, the blood of nothing else. The idach, dama v'lo b'sara. And what's Rabbi Eliezer going to say in defense, in his defense? Dam is exclusionary. I agree with you, it's exclusionary. But it only excludes blood, not meat. Meaning if the meat of a chatas is brought into the heichal, that will not disqualify the carbon. Dama v'lo b'sara. Vidach dam dama. And the other position will say, well, there are two drushas over here. Torah could have said the word dam. Torah says dam, and it says dama, meaning not two words, but the extra hay. So that affords us two drushas. One drusha of blood and not meat, a second drusha of its blood and not the blood of any other carbon. Vidach dam dama lo darish. And the other position is, no, we don't... That's not available for a second drasha. It's only one drasha, not two drashas. Okay, a little bit more for today. Let's get our way to the two dots. Bishlam ala rabban adami asham shashach lo shash mo kasher. Hainu di itgash mincha lechatas. Mincha la asham. So the Gemara says, look, the position of the chachamim, I understand. Right? That if I shech the karmen asham, shalo lishmo, it's going to be okay. It's going to be acceptable. Because, look, the Torah compares a mincha to an asham. Right? What? Where? The Tanya. The Gemara says, look at the following braisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Kodesh kadashim hi, kachatas v'ka'asham. When the Torah describes our mincha, Parshat Tzav, Perek Vav. I believe you. Here we go. Now that's the pasuk of Midama.
Yeah.
Yeah, better. Okay. In Perek Vav of Parshat Tzav, Lo se'afei chametz chelkam nasati osam ishei kodesh kadashim hi kechatas vekasham. In describing the mincha offering is just a regular flour offering. So the Torah tells us, first of all, don't bake it chametz. Right? We all know minchos do not come chametz. Rare exceptions. Right? Shavuot. Right? Perfect. And karban todah. Right, but with rare exception, every mincha is baked matzah, not allowed to become chametz. So lo, and that's a prohibition in the Torah. Lo se'afei chametz, chalkam nasati osam yishei kodesh kadashim hi. It's part of their portion, meaning the kohanim. Kohanim are entitled to eat the mincha offering. Kechatas kasham, just like kohanim are allowed to eat chatas, and just like kohanim are allowed to eat asham, they're also allowed to eat mincha as well. They're entitled to the menachot. Okay, good. But in this pasuk, you see that the Torah clearly equates a mincha to a chatas and an asham. And our Gemara picks up on that. And our Gemara says, why? What's the comparison there to teach us, aside from the simple pshat that the Kohanim are allowed to eat it? So, start again. Sorry. Ikish mincha lechatas. D'tanya. All right, the three lines before the lines get wide. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kodesh Kadashim Kechatas Kasham Mincha Chote Hare Kechatas Lefichach Kimse Shalol Lashma Psula. The Gemara says, if I do come shalol lishma, right, the kmitza, taking my hand, or this is a kohen doing this, taking the hand, putting it into the flour, and picking up a fistful of the flour, right, if he does that, that's one of the avodas of a mincha. Right, just like there are dollar avodas by every karban, there also are four avodas. They correspond. Four avodas by every mincha. Taking your hand and putting it into the flour, that's an avoda. That's one of the four services of a mincha. And if it's done shalol lishma, just like by a chatas it disqualifies, same thing is true by a mincha. Also disqualifies as well.
It would have already been cooked, though, right?
Some yes, some no. Different menachos. Right? We're not in the world of menachos right now. But when we get into the world of menachos, which is just the next mesechta along the trail, so we're going to learn. Some are cooked and some are fried and some, right? Okay, so minchas nedav arei kasham lefichach, and on the other hand, that's talking about a minchas chatas, the minchas chote. But if it's minchas nedav arei kasham, but if it's a donated mincha, so now it's going to be like an asham lefichach kimsa shalosh makshera. So in other words, the Torah compares a mincha to a chatas and a mincha to an asham. Why? To bifurcate, right? To tell us that the mincha can go in one of two directions. Sometimes a mincha whose kmitza is done shalol lishma is pasul, like a chatas. Sometimes a mincha that shalol lishma is kosher, like an asham. That's why the Torah compares it to a chatas and an asham, to tell us that the mincha can go in one of two directions depending on what the mincha is. Is it a minchas chote or is it a minchas nedava? That's beautiful if you follow Shitas Chachamim. What if you follow Shitas Rabbi Eliezer? Chatas and asham are the same. You don't get this opportunity to split. So, Allah the Rabbi Elazar, this is the Gemara's question. Lamai hilchasait kesh mincha lechatas and mincha lashem. Lechi idach the Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, well, there's another halacha, which happens to be ascribed to Rabbi Shimon, that non, shalob ekli sharis psula, Rabbi Shimon machshir. Now, what we're supposed to do with a mincha, after taking off the kmitza, is putting it into a kli, putting it into a utensil. Now, in the world of putting into utensil, what if I don't take the kmitza and put it into utensil? What if I walk it up the mizbeach and just simply throw it on the mizbeach? So, subject to a debate, the Tanakhama says that's no good. Not only did you not follow procedure, but you have disqualified it. And Rabbi Shimon says it's good, it's kosher. So the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Barei the Rabbi Chiya my Taima the Rabbi Shimon for what's the reason? Amar Kara Kodesh Kadashim Hika Chatas Kasham, because of the pasuk Bala Ovda Biyad Ovda Biyamin Kechatas. Torah comes to tell us like this: if you're going to do it with your hand, you got to do it with your right hand.
all the applications of blood by a chatas have to be done with the right hand. The kli of the besmoth, done with, if done in utensil, it can be offered in the left hand, kasham, just like an asham. Good. Okay? The Rabbi Shimon, high kram map, so good. So now, that's why the Torah compares it to a chatas to an asham, to tell us, sometimes right hand is okay, that's chatas, sometimes left hand is okay, that's asham.
It's okay or required?
Meaning, if you're going to use your hand and you're not going to use a kli, so then it's okay. Meaning, then, but then you have to use your right hand.
Okay, so it's
okay. Yeah. So then, right. So then, it would be required to use your right hand. Finishing up over here, V'Rabbi Shimon Haikra Mapik Leilahachu Mapik Leilahachi. So the Gemara says, now wait a second. We just caught Rabbi Shimon in somewhat of a twist, because Rabbi Shimon just, like, eight lines ago, went chatzas and asham in two directions regarding lishma. Now Rabbi Shimon's going chatzas and asham, going in two directions regarding right hand versus left hand. So Rabbi Shimon, where are you? So the Gemara says, Ikur kralecha Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Rabbi Chia. So the Gemara says, look, as far as Rabbi Shimon's concerned, so the main point of the pasuk is right hand versus left hand, as we just said. And as far as a mincha of a sinner, which is done shalol lishma, that's not really based on the chatas asham comparison. Chatas time amaydich siv behi minchas chote namik siv behi. So the Gemara says it's just simply based on the pasuk he. Ule rabbanan my hilchas itkesh asham lechatas, and according to the chachamim, what's the point of comparing Asham to a Chatas? Meaning, now we're going to wrap it all up. According to the Chachamim, who say that an Asham and a Chatas are different Lishma, Chatas Lishma is Pasul, Asham Lishma is Kasher. Why is the Torah saying Kachatas Kasham? Lamelcha Machatas Tunasmicha, Asham Tunasmicha. So the Gemara says very simple. According to the Chachamim, it's regarding a different halacha, the halacha of Smicha. Just like by the carbon Chatas, the owner of the animal who needs the kapara will place his hands on the animal and do vidua while placing his hands on the animal. Same thing is true with an asham. Owner will place his hands on the animal and do a vidua on the asham, on the head of the animal as well. Okay, good. We're going to pause over here. A little bit behind, I understand, but tomorrow we'll have an opportunity to make up. A lot of information today. I bombarded you today with information. Please take the time today to go over it. It's just a tremendous amount of facts and pieces of information.